It's always a good sign when the passing of the peace lasts longer than the confession in any church. I'm so honored once again to be in this historic, incredible congregation. And as you sit in these pews, you can feel the history of this church, the oldest Protestant church in California. And it's a wonderful honor also to be trading pulpits with Maggie today. And so great to have this chance to worship. Our text for our message today is a text you have probably never heard a sermon about. It is the last few sentences of the book of Deuteronomy. In fact, it's so obscure that the Presbyterian committee, which makes these decisions in Louisville, left it out of the lectionary. I guess the folks in Louisville decided this text wasn't worth a sermon. But as I have read over this text many times over the last 10 years, I think it's one of the most important in the Bible. And so we're going to take a look at a text, Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 12. It's the end of Moses' life. He's 120 years old. Nobody here today is 120, although there are some in my church who would get in close. But whatever age we are, let's listen for God's word. Let's listen for God's voice. Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him the whole land, Gilead as far as Dan, all of the Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain. That is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, as far as the Zor. The Lord said to him, "This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there." Then Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab at the Lord's command. Never since has there arisen a prophet in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. He was unequaled for all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent him to perform in the land of Egypt, against Pharaoh and all his servants in the entire land, and for all the mighty deeds and all the terrifying displays of power that Moses performed in the sight of Israel. For the word of the Lord in Scripture, for the word of the Lord within us, for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? God, as we sit here today, we have come because you have called us. Nobody is here today because we decided to roll out of bed and come to church. No, Lord, we believe that you had a purpose for us to be here. And so, over the next few minutes together, Lord, I pray that you would be with me, that these words would not just be another sermon, but that they would be food for our souls and bread for our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, during the summer, I love to read great novels, to read the great big books. But to be honest with you, what I really love is to read the last sentences of great books. Because I believe that you can actually tell an entire book from the last sentence of the book. Take, for example, The Tale of Two Cities. You know that great book by Charles Dickens. You know how it begins, but it ends this way. "It is a far, far better thing to do than I have ever done. It is far, far better rest than I have ever known." End of the book. It's great. Another great novel that I love the last sentence of is Watership Down by Richard Adams. Maybe you've read that great book, but I just love the end of that. "He reached the top of the bank in a single powerful leap. Hazel followed, and together they slipped away, running easily down through the wood where the first primroses were beginning to bloom." It's the end of the book. And my favorite would be A River Runs Through It by Norman MacLean. Those incredible words, eventually all things merge into one, and a river runs through it. The river was cut by the world's great flood and runs over rocks from the basement of time. On some of those rocks are timeless raindrops. Under the rocks are words, and some of the words are theirs. The text we look at today is equally powerful. These last words are the last words of the life of Moses, probably the greatest person ever to live, other than perhaps John the Baptist and Jesus. And it ends this way: "For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of Israel." But it isn't just great because it's great prose. It's great because Moses was a great person. For 40 years, he had led the Israelites through arguments and scorpions and sand and snakes. He led them out of Egypt. 40 years. And then God invites him to the top of a mountain, Mount Nebo. And there God shows Moses everything. And then he tells Moses what won't happen. He brings together the aspirational and that which won't ever happen. I call these moments in our lives the Nebo Nexuses. Would you say that with me? Nebo Nexus. A Nebo Nexus is when God shows you something, maybe from the top of a mountain or maybe at some point, a clarity about all that you will do and all that you won't do. Nebo is the top of the mountain. A nexus is the coming together. And all of us have Nebo Nexuses in our lives. Happens in our professional lives. You know, maybe you graduated from Stanford or Cal and you were going to get the Nobel Peace Prize. And you've done a lot of good things with your life, but the best thing you could maybe say is you got the Community Service Award from Old First Presbyterian. Nothing wrong with that. It happens to people in retirement. You know, maybe you worked for one of the great big companies, Transamerica Building. You had great big plans with your life. And you've done a lot of great things. It's just that it wasn't exactly how you thought it would all come to an end. It happens to parents. You know, you study English, a good school, Kenyon College. Your plan was to write the great American novel. Now you're reading Fun with Dick and Jane to your kids. It's the Nebo Nexus. Happens to great people as well. Your church was founded by one of the great professors from Princeton Seminary, a place that I had the honor of attending. I was working with the admissions department at Princeton, and I used to love to walk people past Einstein's house and the great institute where Einstein worked out his equations. Now you've heard of Einstein. He did a few great things, right? You heard that Einstein in 1900 and 1910, the theory of relativity, pretty good. 1921, he received the Nobel Prize early in his career. But then he worked and he worked and he worked and he worked and he worked on a problem called the unified theory. He worked his whole life for that. Then in April 18th, 1955, he had a pencil in his hand and he was working at his desk there and he had an aortic aneurysm and he was taken to Princeton Hospital and he died. Now, was Einstein's life a success or failure? Well, obviously, he was able to do so many things, and yet he wasn't able to do all that he had planned to do with his life. You find this in history. The Battle of Spotsylvania, you may have read about, and the great novel by Ron White, General Grant. My favorite line from that is, "General John Sedgwick, he leads his troops to the top of the mountain, and there from the top of the mountain he says, 'Don't worry, men, they couldn't hit a fly at this dis—'" All right, just wanted to see if you're awake. Nebo Nexuses. It's all that we aspire to do and all that we won't do. And what I want to suggest today is that both are a gift from God. There are moments when God will show us so much of what we've been able to do with our lives. And it's those moments when God wants us to step back and say, wow. And there are moments where we will find out what we won't do. Let's take a look at this text. Let's listen for God's word once again. It begins this way. Moses climbed Mount Nebo. He's 120 years old, and he is climbing a 2,600-foot mountain. I took it by bus, and I was tired when I got to the top. Some scholars have said that Moses actually might have died because of climbing the 2,600-foot mountain at 120. But there Moses sees the whole thing. You ever had a moment like that before? You're down there in the desks, working on contracts, you're working on this project or that, you're doing your bills. But some moment you step back and you can see the whole thing. He'd spent 40 years down there with the scorpions and the complaining. The first time he had a chance to see the whole thing. Do you know how many people reach these moments and then I find that they don't actually appreciate what God has done? I had a man come into my office the other day. He just retired. And I said, John, how are you? He said, I'm terrible. This kid cut me off in traffic. And my grandkids won't call me. And I took my car to the dealer and they put the wrong radial tires on. And I thought to myself, this person has done so much with their life. And all they can think about is stuff down in the wilderness. By the way, you've heard about the guy who retired early. Bob, this one's for you. A guy retired early, and he says to his pastor, I'm retiring, and the pastor says, well, what are you going to do with your life? And Bob says, well, in retirement, I'm just going to watch television and drink beer. Pastor says, you're going to be dead in a year if you do that. The guy says, well, why is that? And the pastor says, well, see, if the beer and the TV don't kill you, your wife is going to kill you. When we get to those moments, and maybe you're at those now, step back and see what God has done in your life. So Moses does. He looks from the top of this mountain in Jericho, and he sees the whole thing. And he might have expected at that moment for God to say, all right, Moses, now take the land. He'd done everything that God had asked him to do. You ever feel like that? You've done everything right. Everything right. But somehow it just hasn't ended the way you wanted it to. And God says to Moses, you're not going over. You're not crossing over. Now, at that point, I think it would be fair if Moses did one of three things. One possibility would be, oh, really, Lord? Two can play at this game. Israelites, we're heading back to Egypt. Come on. A lot of people do that with their lives. They go backwards when they get to a Nebo Nexus. You ever met someone like that? Instead of moving forward in retirement, they just go back and they bother all their colleagues at work. Or a kid graduates from college, great opportunities, but then decides to go back and hang out with his buddies. He could have gone back. We have the opportunity to. Or he could have just sat down on the top of the mountain and just said, I quit. I'm finished. Not fair. I can't move forward. Could have done that. You know, one of the great things I think that we don't realize in life, God puts on our hearts big ideas, big plans. But it wasn't the purpose of the human life to complete all of those things. Nobody passes through this life doing everything they wanted to do. It's not how it works. I don't care how great you are. There's a guy named Rick Warren who is leading a little teeny church down there in Orange County. And I believe there are 30,000 people in the church. And he wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Life, which has sold more copies than anything but this book here. But Rick Warren said the other day, I hazard to guess that my life might have been a little more if I had have had a little more faith in my life. Really? That wasn't enough. Bill Clinton, apparently, he comes to cities like this, and, you know, he had a few mistakes in his life. All of us have. But Bill Clinton will go from one party to the next, not talking about the things he was able to do, but talking about the things that he wasn't. And it's just one story after another about Rwanda. George Clooney, who I'm told used to attend this church. George Clooney, the actor, maybe you've heard of him. He's done a couple of great films, Perfect Storm, O Brother, Where Art Thou, The Good German. But everywhere he goes, he talks about his regrets about not doing Batman. Well, we all have some aspiration. We weren't meant to do all that God puts on our hearts. And in a way, it might have been a comfort to Moses. He looks over the mountains and sees the promised land, and God tells him, you're not going. Maybe at 120, he said, phew, let the kids do it. Joshua, it's all yours. The third option I think Moses had was to march forward on his walking stick, even though he knew that he wasn't going to make it to the promised land. And that, my friends, is what I believe we are called to do as Christians with God. You may not make it to all the things that God has called you to do, but we march forward. I like to think that Moses, the end of his life, went something like this. God speaks to him, and from the top, he says to the Israelites, all right, Israelites, on his walking stick. God calls us to that, to move forward. You don't know where this thing's going to end. Nobody does, only God does. You march forward. I want to tell you, since we're going to Mount Hermon this summer, about my great-grandma, named Dorothy Kale. Her father, this was back in the day, bought the land that Mount Hermon is on. And if you go this summer and see the All Church Conference, you can find the founder's cabin where Dorothy lived. But really, Dorothy was from the valley. She was from Merced, and that's where she and her husband grew many, many almond trees. You know they call them almonds over there, and you know why. Because they beat the L out of them, and then they hit the ground. But it's a guest pulpit, I can say that right. So there, they farmed almonds for a long time. Thousands, thousands of trees. Then her husband, James, great farmer, passes away at the age of 60. A young man. And there she is at 60. What's she going to do with the rest of her life? So she decides to move up to Mount Hermon, to the founder's cabin. And every day she would walk down to the conference hall, and there she would listen to another speaker. And they've had the best in the world there. You know, Barbara Brown Taylor, Billy Graham, everyone goes to Mount Hermon to speak. So she goes and she goes and she goes for 20 years. Every morning she wakes up, she heads down to the conference center, she listens. One day she comes and there's a preacher who is from the Wycliffe Bible Translation Society. He's recruiting volunteers to go to a place called Papua New Guinea in order to minister to the headhunters there. Headhunters are people who take heads. So he had preached a great sermon, and like we will do in a minute, we'll sing a song, I have decided to follow Jesus. And then the preacher said, now anybody interested in being a volunteer in Papua New Guinea with the headhunters, please come forward. Now, they were serving prime rib over at the cafe, and most of the people went because they had a special horseradish that day, which was just delicious. But not Grandma. At 80 years old, walking about this speed, she comes down to the front. The guy is cleaning up his papers. Yes, ma'am. What can I do for you? She says, well, I'm here to volunteer to be a missionary in Papua New Guinea with the headhunters. And then the missionary says, well, ma'am, how old are you? 80, she said. Well, 81, but who's counting? But she said, well, you know, I think we could find something else for you to do. You know, a desk job, licking stamps, perhaps. She applied. Month after month after month, kept getting rejected from the Wycliffe Bible Society. Finally, one day, a letter comes forward saying, fine, go and be a translator in Papua New Guinea. I guess they figured she was 81, and if she lost her head, then it probably wasn't that big of a deal. You know, a couple of years later, I ran into some missionaries who were from Papua New Guinea, and they said, you know, we'll never forget a woman named Dorothy who went anywhere. She would walk into the most dangerous little village where there were headhunters and all manner of things, and she would teach from this book. She walked forward on her walking stick. What's God calling you to do? Where is God calling you to go? What nexus moment are you in? Is this a moment for you to step back, maybe today, this afternoon, after church, and just think about all that God has done with your life and say, Lord, thank you? Is this a moment for you to recognize, well, I'm not going to do everything I wanted to, and it's okay? Or is this a moment for you to walk forward on that stick and know that God is with you wherever you go? Thank you, Father, for this moment, this chance to reflect. Thank you for Moses, for his life. I pray that you would help ours to be something like his. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.